Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm Daniel Palmquist from The Murder of My Sweet So.
May you introduce yourself as a band member of The Murder of My Sweet and tell us a little word about the band?
Well, yeah, absolutely. As we already established, I'm the guitar player for the band, The Murder of My Sweet. We're releasing our debut album here in January. So far, the response has been overwhelming. Describing our music is, of course, really hard to do with words. I've heard the expression cinema rock. We have, like, a really strong influence from movies and score music in our music, so definitely that cinematic quality is really important to us. I guess we could call it a hard rock band or a metal band, but we definitely have a strong pop sensibility in our songs. You know, and I think we can appeal to both the metal audience and just music lovers in general, and that we have a really strong cinematic quality in the music, that we're really big movie fans and want to show that in our music as well. And hopefully, you know, people can also hear like a little movie playing, or see a little movie playing in their head while they listen to our music, because we have that quality with big arrangements and a lot of background vocals and stuff in our music.
Does that mean that movies are the main sources of inspiration for your music?
Yeah, movies are a very big inspiration for our music and for life. We're like really movie nerds in the band, and we love the work of, for example, Tim Burke, and a lot of directors that we really like. But movies are definitely a big inspiration to us, absolutely.
Because of this inspiration to make your music something like a soundtrack or for some movies or things like that, is it the reason why you use a lot of keyboards in every song? There is a lot of little sounds. If we listen very carefully to the music, there is always something behind the main melody.
Definitely. So, and Daniel, our drummer and producer, that's also written the main part of the music, is also a very big movie fan, and definitely important to him, and also to make, you know, there are different layers in the music as well. I mean, if you hear some of the more popular tracks, you can say, oh, it's a really nice, catchy song, but if you start digging a little bit deeper, you hear all this little arrangements and stuff going on in the background, and there's definitely a lot more going on than meets the ear at the first listen, so to speak. And I think that's, yeah, definitely a strong inspiration for movies, and for Daniel's part, he's really into that score music thing, and he wants each song to have, like, its own vibe and a lot of little nice things happening in the background. There's a lot to listen to. Good earphone album to, you know, put on some earphones and really, you know, listen closely.
The voice of Angelica Rilin is really in front of your music. How do you put her voice when you are creating a song? Do you use at the beginning only a sound line, or do you try to have some words to have a special meanings or a special way to speak when you create the track?
Well, that would probably be a question better suited for Daniel, considering he's producer and composing the most music, but I would definitely think that he may like start with a simple chord progression, or, you know, start like building the foundation of the songs with arrangements and some basic rhythm and basic chords. But then Angelica works closely with him as well, coming up with lyrics. And I know for a fact that many times the whole inspiration for a song can be a nice phrase, you know, that catches Angelica's ear, you know, some catchy, cool line, and they can build a song around that, and they work very closely. And of course, I mean, the music really is built a lot around her voice as well, you know, to support her great vocals. That's one of the most important things for the band, to support her singing, of course.
For the guitar part, what do you like in the music? What is there some technical things that you really want to put in a song, or?
Combination of things. I mean, that really depends on the song, but Daniel is a producer. I mean, sometimes he has a very clear vision of what kind of guitar parts he wants. It might have, you know, already thought of the key elements of the arrangement, and sometimes I have to come up with it myself, and sometimes we work together to find the right riffs and the right stuff to complement that song. But I mean, like I said, my part in the band is very much, you know, bringing in the metal paintbrush, try to get some dirt in there, you know, get some of the heavy riffing going and some of the, you know, hard edge guitars in there. So always a balance, you know, because I mean, the key ingredient is just, you know, Angelica's voice and the arrangement and the song itself, of course. I mean, have to be a delicate balance there to bring in, you know, heavier influences, being from very much a hard rock background myself. So I try to bring that element without taking over the song too much. Have to be, yeah, just a balance there. But for guitar arrangements, me and Daniel worked very closely on that together to come up with the right riffs and parts. And of course, I'm a guitar player, so I mean, I try to sneak in a little bit, little techniques here and there, you know.
To know a little bit more about some tracks, may you tell us some words about the first one, No Evil?
Hard for me to answer, because I mean, Daniel wrote that song mostly, and I also wrote the lyrics, but I mean, I guess it deals with, you know, being afraid of the dark, monsters under your bed. I think that lyrics are pretty much explains itself, pretty much. But I mean, that's one of my favorite tracks on the album. I think it's got some really interesting rhythm parts, and it's a really cool vibe to that song. But it's hard for me to answer exactly how it was made, because that was mainly written by Daniel and Angelica's lyrics on there. But it happened to be one of my favorite tracks, so I'm still glad you mentioned that song.
And for the song Storm of the Sea?
I might be wrong, but I think the inspiration there was also a movie, I think. It's got a little bit of that Pirates of the Caribbean vibe to it, I think. A little bit inspired by that, you know, searching for love across the sea, you know. Get that kind of like almost pirate feeling over that song. But as you notice, I mean, a lot of inspiration for songs are from the movie angle, so to speak.
And there is a bonus track on the CD, which is a really long song from something like 8 minutes. What is this this song? Because there is no... I mean, I listened to the track on the website of the label. This track has no title. It's one with some children who are talking.
Oh, yeah, The Death of a Movie Star. That's a really important song to the band, because that really shows a lot of the different influences from us, and definitely the cinematic aspect, indeed. I mean, with, you know, children singing and a lot of different moods, the song is going through a lot of different moods and vibes. And I know, I mean, a lot of people have compared a little bit to Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. I mean, we wouldn't do that because, I mean, we were huge fans of Queen and wouldn't be there to compare ourselves to that, to their great song, Bohemian Rhapsody. But it has been mentioned. It's a big song with a lot of vocal arrangements, a lot of different moods, and we try to incorporate a lot what the band is about in that song. So, you know, a little special treat for the fans, and maybe a little bit unexpected for the album. I mean, a lot of people have been kind of surprised by that song, that we choose to make such a, well, in certain ways, complicated song for that on the album.
Where did you record it, the album Divinity?
In Daniel Floyd's studio. He's got his own studio. He's been building that one for many years now, and he's been producing different bands and doing a lot of session work as a drummer, so he has his own really good studio. And that's been an incredible luxury to us, because, I mean, the album has been... We work on this album pretty much for over 2 years, re-recording, trying out different things. And, I mean, for a lot of bands to do that in a, you know, actually rent studio time, it's really hard to do something like this in these hard times that the music industry is going through. I mean, so it's been a great luxury to be able to record at Daniel's studio, where we can actually take our time and sometimes wait a little bit for inspiration to show up as well, to not have the studio clock ticking all the time. So it's been a really, really a great thing.
On your MySpace page, we can see some short video of the recording session. Have you got a special remembrance about this time?
Oh, there are many, many good times recording the album. I mean, and a lot of work as well. I mean, it's been a lot of hard work, but considering we're all very happy with the album, it was worth it, definitely. But I mean, yeah, it's been a lot of pressure and a lot of late nights and many, many hours trying to work out the right part, and also myself sitting in my little home studio and try to come up with parts that would fit on the songs when we have like the basic tracks and so forth. And I'd sit there and try to come up with different stuff. And there's been a lot of, over these two years, been a lot of work, but a lot of fun as well. And we were really happy with the end result, so it's definitely been worth it.
You said that No Evil is the track that you really like. Is
this
the track from the album that you prefer to perform?
Actually, it's one of the tracks that I do enjoy playing the most live, because it's got a really cool rhythm. I think almost a little bit of a Latin vibe to it. It might be something to do with the drum. Our drummer is partially South American, I don't know. But I really like the rhythm, and it's a really fun riff to play as well, because it's going through some really, really cool rhythmic stuff happening there. That is definitely one of my favorite tracks to perform live, absolutely.
There is two video clips that we can see now. It's for Follow the Rain and Bleed Me Dry.
Yep.
It seems that you record the two video clips at the same time. Who is the director of this clip, and is there any other video clip that you will release soon?
We have a friend who's called Lasse Niemele. He's worked with Lasse Niemele. It's a hard word maybe for you. Anyway, he's a good friend of the band, and he recorded these clips, and yeah, they were indeed recorded at the same location and same time. And, I mean, that wasn't really thought of as a real video. That was like more of a promo video to show the band a little bit more while we were looking for a label. So people seem to really like the clips or the, you know, those performances. So they were now included in the first press of the album, as Digipack, I think it was called. So that will be available to the fans. And, I mean, if people like it, sure. But it was intended more as a promotional tool while we were searching for a label. And, of course, I mean, the band would love to make, like, how should I call it, a real video, a more high-budget video with all the ingredients that you can expect. That would be really fun for us, and we're discussing that with, you know, all the different parties involved in the band. So we'll see. I mean, we hope we can be able to make a more big-budget video with all the, you know, hopefully the cinematic qualities that we feel are so important for the band, but that remains to be seen.
Have you got any tour plan?
For the moment, no, but we're starting out here, so we're talking to promoters in Germany and here in France, and I mean, the band really want to come out and play and meet the fans. Definitely, that's what we want to do, and we're discussing different possibilities right now, but, you know, a lot of people involved, and we have to really organize it, so there are definitely plans to come and tour next year, absolutely.
Do you know if there is a cover already done for the album?
There is a cover, yeah.
What does it look like?
I think you should be able to see it on our website, themurderonmysuite.com.
Uh-huh.
Our website was released just a couple of days ago, and we're really happy with that website, by the way, and you can also listen to a track called Another Dawn. They are exclusively released for the website. It's a song we really liked, but it didn't really fit on the album, we thought, but we still wanted to share it with the fans because we really liked that song too. So that's exclusively for the website. And there you can see the covers and everything, but I mean, it's really cool, very, very good cover artist called Matthias Norén, who's made the artwork for the album. It really shows Angelica floating in a room without the roof. You can see the sky. It's really, really artistic and cool cover that we're really happy with. So you can see it on our website. Pretty sure we have a picture there. I should also mention Mikael Weyenhag, who put together our website. It's also a really fantastic creative artist who made a beautiful website for us, and we were really happy with that as well.
Do you would like to add a last word, and maybe in French, if you know some?
God, my French is so bad. I actually used to study French in school, but I don't think it's fit for for exposure, really. I can order coffee. I've been successful in ordering coffee here in Paris, but I don't know. I would prefer English if that's okay with you.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we'll say hi to all the listeners. I hope you will enjoy our album, and please visit the website and have a look and a listen to the band. And we're all really looking forward to come and tour in France in the near future.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, and thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, thank you, and have a nice trip in France.
Thank you very much. It's been wonderful so far.